I'm not Pastor Chris, although we might look alike. I'm totally kidding. But this morning I'll be preaching for you. I'm Brian Hamm, the associate pastor here of worship. So yes, thank you so much for being here this morning. Just a quick announcement. They are having a ladies' luncheon, if I can get this date correctly, just to make sure. It's going to be December 8th from 11 to 1 p.m. Yes? And the ladies who are coming as a trio are friends of mine. And Julian was one of our friends back in high school, and she is a great performer. And they are actually a professional group. They're called the Cobalt Strings, and you can check them out online as well. They have a whole website and everything too. But tickets are on sale, so they are in the foyer. If you could talk to Carol as well for that, she can give you more information for that too. All right, and if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 to 10. Give you guys a quick minute for that. And just to give you guys a little bit more about myself, I actually really enjoy cooking, so sourdough bread has been something that I've been getting into. Anyone else fans of sourdough? All right, a couple people, cool. And also, I am married to my beautiful wife, Eugen, in the front right there. She has the overcoat on, yeah. And it's actually gonna be our 1 year anniversary, December 2nd, so, woo. I think it was a successful first year of marriage, so it's been great. I just wanted to say this too. I just wanted to thank you guys so much for being such a welcoming church. There have been so many people just coming up randomly and saying hi. And if you haven't yet, that's completely okay. But I'd love to meet everyone. I myself am a relational person. So honestly, I know it might seem like I'm busy and everywhere on Sundays, but I would love to meet with you and chat with you. So that's me. So feel free to say hello as well. So now we'll go into the Word of God. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10. And this is God's word for us. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. If you would join me in prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come into your presence, that you are always with us. And even now, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, to just go deeper into your truth. Lord, we want to be humbled before your words. Lord, may it not be me, the speaker here, but Lord, may it be you who is revealing to us your truth. And Lord, may we apply this into our life and to live it out. So Father, we ask for your spirit to move within us and your grace to change us and move us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I know it was Thanksgiving weekend, and we had Thanksgiving just recently. We had our grandparents, our parents, my brother-in-law is also getting married, so now he has a fiance, so she was here to visit. So it's a blessed time. Turkey, gravy, we actually also had duck. I know that's not normal, but it's okay. And we had the Thanksgiving meal, and you know, I think this is a one tradition that I really enjoyed from long ago, and that was just to say what we're thankful for. And I'm sure all of us during the Thanksgiving meal, we were thinking, hey, what has God blessed us with today? And even now, I'm sure you're probably thinking about, oh, God has blessed me with so many things. And you know, as we talk about blessings, it's so great to see that God does bless us. And blessings, then, are an important part of our lives. And here's another thing. I think this is why it's very important. Either you receive blessings from God in your life, or you have a life without them, right? So again, either you receive blessings or you have a cursed life. Now, obviously, I think we all choose the first. We all want to be blessed. No one would want to choose a cursed life. The people of Israel were all about soaking up the blessings of God. They were after his blessings at all times. They desired to be prosperous. This is a quote here. How crucial it was then for the people of Israel to secure the blessing of the all-powerful God, the only creator, the ruler of the ends of the earth, their true Lord and rightful King, whose blessing no one could reverse and whose curse no one could lift. I mean, that statement alone just speaks to us. It's like, oh man, blessings are a big deal. God, who's the God of the universe, can either bless me or he will not be with me and curse me. And which life are we after? Here's one more quote. A blessed life was the ideal. And he's speaking in the terms of the Israelites. A life without God's blessing was the ultimate nightmare. So that's a very heavy statement as well, too. Without God's blessing, we're living in a nightmare. So we see here a blessed life is such a big deal, either one of blessing or the ultimate nightmare. So here's a question. What is the greatest blessing that you desire today? Just think about that for a second. What is the biggest blessing, greatest blessing that you desire today? One where we can say, I'm blessed by God if this were to happen. So just think about that for a moment. I will confess mine to you. It is to be filthy rich. No, I'm just kidding. That's not it. It's actually for me to have a family where we're all loving each other, where we're sustained, where we're happy, where we have enough and God providing. That's mine personally. Now, your natural inclinations might be different. You might want something else, bigger or different. Is it monetary wealth? Is it generational wealth that you keep piling on? Is it the life of comfort or sustainability, or is it just stability? An advancement in career? Being a certain occupation, or a well-designed home, a mansion or some sort? Or is it traveling? Or is it a life of longevity, a good, prosperous, healthy life? To be disease-free? Or what about this one here? An abundant family with 9 kids, you know, like Pastor Chris and Jennifer. And in the Old Testament, that was all good. That was actually a huge blessing to be able to have many children. And all of these things are great. These desires and these blessings that we want are good. But to say this, is there something above every other blessing? Is there the greatest blessing of all time? And I would say, the greatest blessing we can receive today is none of these things that we just listed out, but the greatest and highest blessing we can receive from God is God himself. God is the greatest blessing he gives to us and for us. You know, it's so easy, though, to actually go the opposite way. You know, we only rely on God or want God when we don't have something. When we're not prospering, when we're not doing well, or when we're sick, or when something has gone wrong in our life. But see, even through all these things, we see that God is the giver, and he himself is the blessing. And so we can always go after him, no matter what the circumstance, if we're lacking, if we're provided for, in all circumstances. So let's tie this together. The ideal blessed life is one with God. The life that is cursed is one without God, which is the ultimate nightmare. And so this brings us to point number one today. God himself is the highest and greatest blessing. We aspire to be blessed in God for the sake of God being the object, himself. You know, the craziest inclination we have as Christians, when things go well, I'm doing fine all alone, but it's even through those times of need and blessings that we can turn to God always. The word bless means to praise, which is to be full, filled with strength. And today, though, you know, we most commonly use the word blessing as a gift. I think that's what we kind of, you know, orchestrated towards. We say, oh, God bless me with things or happenings in my life. So it's a certain thing that we look for other than the blessing itself, God himself. But I just want to make sure we get this definition correctly. And this is Psalm 73. And if you guys want to turn there, turn with me. It's a long chapter, but I'm just going to condense it for us. And I'm just going to give you the backstory of Asaph. Asaph was kind of like me, the worship leader. That's who Asaph was in the Old Testament. In the book of Songs, King David actually appointed him to be the worship leader. And so he was doing ministry of music. So Psalm 73, it's the craziest thing. He is actually bitter towards God and saying, why is it that all these people around me are prospering, but I am not? And in Psalm 73, you're going to see Asaph say, why are these wicked, arrogant people prospering? They have no disease. They have no struggles. Their body is healthy and strong. They're free from every burden, and they don't respect you, and they disregard you as God, the authority. And they kept getting richer and richer, and they kept prospering. And these were people who were not trusting in the Lord. You see, Asaph was jealous and even bitter. But here is where there's a change in this song. In Psalm 73, we'll see here in verse 21, this is what he says. And I think this gives us a very good grasp of what a blessing really is. This is verse 21. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom I have in heaven but you, and the earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. I mean, when you read this, I mean, and I would encourage you, please go read this on your own later on. But, I mean, we can relate to this. I mean, we want prospering. We want all this goodness to happen to us. But Asaph's perspective here is saying, even if it doesn't happen, I will worship you. I'm going to be near to you. The blessing was not the blessings itself, the prospering, but it was God himself. And he was near to God, and God was near to him. God himself is the blesser, and he himself is the biggest blessing. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8 also says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. That's what it means to be blessed, to be one with God. And then it continues, it says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I love that because that's showing for us, when we're in God, it's all provided for, no matter what the circumstance. The object in which we're chasing after, the person or the thing we are looking to, is God himself. Therefore, blessings are not only gifts. Sometimes there are no material or physical gifts, but it is just himself that we can trust in and hold on to. So for example, when you grieve over a lost one and you're having the hardest time, God knows your emotions. And that blessing to have God even when things are not going well. Or when you are feeling extremely lonely and alone by yourself, Jesus was all alone on the cross and he knows what you're going through exactly. Jesus, the great high priest, has been through it all and can understand everything we go through, and that is a blessing. The circumstance of our lows in life does not change this blessing. We have Christ who is always at our side. like Asaph, we can have this privilege, this opportunity to be near to God. So our gaze is not on the gifts, not on the absence of gifts, but it is in God himself. And, you know, this just blows my mind sometimes. We are given a magnificent relationship with the all-powerful, almighty God. That's who we are able to come near to. And that just fascinates me. I mean, why in the world would this almighty God want this relationship? And that in itself is the blessing, that this great and mighty God is wanting this relationship and fellowship with us. Here's a quick story. Eugene and I, she actually hated me the first year. I was pursuing very hard, and she didn't like me at all. And actually, I would probably say, of course, because at that time, I was all into like working out and, you know, trying to seem fit and everything like that. So she had this perception that I was very much vain, right? And so that's how we met. But after that first year, something happened where she saw who I was and everything started to work out. And now, praise the Lord, she loves to spend time together and we're married. So she has to spend time with me. you know, but I think that's the craziest thing, a relationship, a fellowship with the one you love. And that's what God is for us. He doesn't want to be far away from us. And by the way, Eugene is an introvert, but she can also be very extroverted at times. But you know, that's the crazy thing. God is not an introvert. And God doesn't want to spend time away from you. He actually desires the time with you. Oh, and I love this because, you know, for me personally, I think there are so many times when I think to myself, I'm not good enough. God, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of your time. You're too busy for me. But here we see it. No. He's saying, be near to God. And that's the blessing we have. So this is point number two today. A blessed life is one spent with God. So today's passage, you might be thinking, you know, why are we talking about blessings when we're talking in this passage? I think it's because Paul has something very, very good to speak to us about. And that we'll see that in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 to 10. Today's passage is very important because he knows the practice and the art of living in a blessed life. And what I mean by that is he knows what it means to be under the fountain of God's grace. Here in this passage, we see three times he uses the word grace. You know, our culture in America today, I'm not talking about Korean culture, I'm talking about the American culture as itself. You know, we want to be independent, and independence is good. But I think there are times that will draw us away from trusting or leaning on someone else. But here we see God is saying, hey, it's all together. By my grace, you will change and do things. You know, we are never alone in this relationship. And I think that's the beauty of it all. We're not meant to do it alone. We're meant to do it with God. You know, I think by this time, we're all thinking, I'm hoping, that we all think, hey, I want to be more blessed. And I especially want God to be the blessing in my life, the greatest blessing. And the question I think that we get to is, how do I get blessed like that? How do I have God be the biggest blessing in my life? And how do I stay blessed? And I think this is where Paul is trying to show us some truth. Verse 9 says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You see, in order to be under grace, and to be part of grace, and part of this blessing is, he confesses his sin and acknowledges his sin. You know, Luke 7:47 says, therefore I say to you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. You know, I think for us, when we're forgiven much, we love much. And I think that's where we need to acknowledge for us, ourselves, our sin, the depth of our wretchedness, that we do have sins to confess before the Lord. And as I mentioned before, you know, so often we think, I'm not good enough. And that's true. And that is when we repent of our sins. And then we look elsewhere. This is what he says afterwards. He looks to Christ and the grace of God. And that makes him who he is. And just to make sure of this too, weakness is great. And I know it's so countercultural in a way. We think weakness is a bad thing. We all desire to be strong, especially men here, right? Men, we want to seem like a strong figure, the head of the household, be a man, which is great. But here, I think we see that weakness is also part of strength. And Isaiah 40, 29, it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Romans 8, 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and this, I love this verse right here. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know, our weakness is what kind of like activates the power of Christ. We are meant to come humbled before Christ. So, just a quick question for us. When was the last time we just confess our sins before the Lord, and then afterwards turn to Jesus and said, thank you for saving me? In verse 10, we see, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. It is his amazing grace that Paul was found in, and he was converted. And that here is what it means to be in his blessing, to be under the grace of God. So, this is one thing I wanted to make sure about. And if you have a king on the throne, and if you have something you've done wrong before the king, and you come before him, what kind of stature would you come with? If you did something wrong before the king, you would come and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. King, I'm so sorry. And you would come with a very lowly stature and come before him and lay yourself down, even ready to be beheaded. But here's the thing. If you were a friend of the king, how would you come into the throne room? You would just boldly come in and say, hello, king, how are you doing? Of course, with reverence and respect, of course. But see, there's two different ways in which we can approach the throne of God. We can come very scared in fear of God, completely scared because of our wrongs, or we can come completely right and as a friend of the king. And I just want to make sure for us today, that's the blessing we have. We get to come in as a second person, right? And we can say, God, you are my friend. You are the Almighty King who is my friend, and I am your child. And here's the thing, we can enter into his presence confidently and boldly. And so here's Hebrew chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's such a great verse because we are no longer meant to be in shame, in a sense of scared fear of our sin, because Christ has paid it all. And then we can enter boldly, which means that we can now have this relationship and fellowship with God at all times. And when this happens, we can start living in the grace of God. And that motivates us to do even more. And this is point number three today. God the blesser empowers and enables us for more. You know, if we continue, it says, on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Just let's stop on that phrase for 1 second, though. When we think about, I worked even harder than everyone else, what's the thought that we think? It seems as if, oh, Paul worked very hard, I need to work harder. Is that what the Lord desires? And then here's the second part. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that was within me. And that second part seems like, oh, but it was the grace of God. That means I'm not having to do a thing. So here's a question. Should we work? Oh, that sounds like a song. Should we just work? I don't know if you got that reference. Should we just keep working and say, God, look what I created for you. Look at this. This is all I've presented for you, God. And based on this verse, we all know the answer is no. How God intends for us to live our life is so that we can build with God. You know, we do build. We do things. We do grow things. We do nurture things. But that is in the presence and with the grace of God. And that's beautiful because you're not doing it alone. And that's a relief. It is God who empowers, God who moves, God who brings blessings in and through us. And that's the other thing. Blessings are not meant to be stagnant, but blessings is what comes forth. It is a promise. And so God receives the glory in that promise, in that blessing. Mounts, he's a Greek scholar, and he says, when God blesses, it is not an impotent wish, but the empowering and transforming word that accomplishes its purpose. So it's moving and active. It is going through us. I think it's easy to think like, a genie, like an Aladdin or like Santa Claus, where it just like gives you a gift and it just goes away. No. God is with us in the process of the prospering and of the blessings. So I just want to leave us with this last charge. Older brothers and sisters in the faith, I know most of you are probably older than I am here. We can keep going. It's not over yet, even if you're older. I'm always encouraged by the men and women who are older than us within our churches. You know, there is still more to do, more to come. And, we love your wisdom, And I think as a younger gentleman, I would love wisdom from people who are older than us. I think there's that misconception of, the older are just doing their own thing, the younger doing their own thing. I don't think that at all. I think mentorship is very real and it needs to be alive. And so I would say, hey, the grace of God fills us to do more within each other, to help each other of all ages. And for the younger folks here, we have the rest of your life, and you have it to spend to give it to the glory of God. And I think that's amazing. And so we are this church where we're not separate in our different levels of our own, but we're all in one, in the body of Christ. So to end this, we are truly blessed in Jesus Christ. He has given us the blessing of God himself to be able to come confidently and boldly into his presence. And we're never alone. He is always one with us. And he empowers us to do even more. So may we be blessed in God himself. If you could join me in prayer. And we're going to have the praise team come up. If you guys could sing for us, Good, Good Father, that would be great. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we thank you that you are the God of blessings, that you give so much to us, and ultimately, Lord, you are the highest blessing that we can receive. If we could just take a moment to just think through this and to come before God Almighty, to confess any sins before him. So if there's any sin, anything that is blocking you from from God, we can confess these things and he will be righteous. He will give you righteousness and he will forgive you for all these things. So let's just take a moment to come into his presence.